You're listening to Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and this program is about the connection and integration of mind, body, spirit, soul, well-being. And today we're going to have a very interesting conversation focused primarily on our body and what we can do and what some of the latest research is with regard to our health. And joining me is John Monroe, and we know him from drbanker.com, and he is the one who talks to us about holistic eye care. Now, John does a lot of research, and he is very excited about the work being done, studies being done by Dr. Stephen Levy, the Scots study director and president of MD of Stem Cells, and we're going to have them join us right now. So I want to say first, welcome John Monroe, and hello, Dr. Levy. So nice to have you.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. How are you doing today?
Great. So, John, why don't you give us a little introduction about this and why you are so excited about this research?
Well, a few years ago, I reached Dr. Levy and contacted him, and he's doing clinical studies on stem cells for treating eye diseases. And he's having a lot of, improvements, and the people working in the study are doing real well with this. And it's amazing how many different eye diseases he can work on with these stem cells.
That's excellent. And welcome, Dr. Levy. I'm really happy to have you on the program with us. And I know that with your breadth of knowledge, you can start us maybe at the baby level. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your work, but also maybe explain to us what stem cells really are and how are they used to help heal the body.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. Thank you so much, Catherine and John, for having me on the show. I had a company called MD Stem Cells, MD Stem Cells. It's a company that sponsors clinical studies in what's called regenerative medicine, which is the use of stem cells to help heal the body. I'm the chair, I'm the chair and study director for actually four separate clinical studies using the patient's own stem cells. So clinical studies are studies that involve patients, and by their own stem cells, what we mean is a term called autologous. Autologous means that the stem cells come from the same person. So these are not donor, fetal, umbilical, or anything of that nature. They're actually the patient's own stem cells that we separate and then use in certain ways, and I'll explain that, to help recover lost function and reduce the impact of disease. In the case that John was mentioning, we're talking about the stem cell ophthalmology treatment study. That's one of the four studies that we're working in. And I can give you just an overview of stem cells in general. That's probably a good place to start, and we'll keep it, very simple. So stem cells were actually discovered probably maybe 70, 80 years ago. And what they realized was that there were certain cells in the body that were capable of turning into other cells. and they were essentially like a reserve of cells that were available to both routinely replace cells because cells wear out, as well as coming in if there's damage from an injury or disease or some process. So stem cells essentially are specialized cells in the body that can turn into other cells. And that ability to turn into other cells, that includes literally every cell in the body. So there are stem cells that replace your skin. Everybody knows, you know, your skin, flakes off and so forth. So the reason that you have all those cells over your entire lifetime is that there are stem cells at the base of the epidermis, and they constantly divide and replace the cells. And the same thing happens in other parts of the body. For example, even your heart turns over. The cells in your heart actually get replaced about 1% a year. They actually get turned over. And there's some controversy about the central nervous system, but it's generally acknowledged that even the central nervous system, which means the brain and the spinal cord, that those cells actually slowly turn over, probably around that, 1% amount. And it literally all the cells, your muscle cells, your bone cells. That's why you can exercise. If you exercise to strengthen yourself, the muscles make stronger connections to the bones. The bones, build up strength. That actually is a result of the stem cells. So we're using specifically stem cells that come from the bone marrow. So in your bigger bones, like your what people would call the pelvis or the hip bones, excuse me, in those bigger bones, the femur, which is your thigh bone, the sternum, which is your breastbone, the humerus, which is your upper arm bone, these larger bones have bone marrow in them. And the bone marrow does all sorts of stuff. Okay, one of the big things it does, of course, is to make new blood cells. And that's because there are hematopoietic stem cells in the bone marrow. So they're able to turn into, millions of new red blood cells every minute, right, really. So, but in addition to the cells like hematopoietic stem cells, there are mesenchymal stem cells and very small embryonic-like stem cells and other types of stem cells that come in and out of the bone marrow and help repair the body. So what we're doing is, in a simple way, we're taking some of that bone marrow and we're putting it through a machine. It's a machine that FDA has cleared for use of separating blood fractions and so forth. So it's a cleared machine. It means that they have reviewed it and it does what it's supposed to do. So we put the bone marrow after it's aspirated, means sucked out a little bit. We put that bone marrow into a cassette that goes into the machine, and the machine spins. It does, basically a fancy centrifugation. And then the layer that is containing the stem cells is separated out along with other cells that are there, as well as platelets, which is interesting. So we take that, and then that's provided to the patient, and we can go into detail, but essentially that's provided to the patient, and by doing that, we are able to help repair damage as well as disease.
Wow. And that's really exciting. And, I've heard a lot about this, but never really understood the fine details. So I appreciate your giving it to us in lay language so that we can really visualize what's happening. And you said you are working on four different studies currently with stem cells. Can you briefly let us know what those studies are?
Of course. So the largest study that we're doing is the one that John has mentioned, is the stem cell ophthalmology treatment study. And we're actually on the second study. So we had we abbreviated, the acronym is SCOTS, SCOTS for the stem cell ophthalmology treatment study. And so our first Scott's study was actually back in 2000. We registered it with the National Institutes of Health back in 2013. We had experience actually originally in Germany and then brought it over here to the United States. And the that study ran for about three years, I guess, about approximately 3 years. And then we started a second study, which we call, of course, with great imagination, we call it Scott's 2. Okay, so this is our second ophthalmology study. And we're enrolling many patients, and the diseases that we're interested in are retinal disease and optic nerve disease. So we're interested in things like macular degeneration, which many of your listeners have heard of. It's a disease of the retina, which is the light-sensitive part of the eye. The retina gets over many years, it kind of wears out almost, you know. There's some different theories about it, but essentially as people get older, some will develop macular degeneration, or it's called age-related macular degeneration. And that's one of the diseases we're very interested in. There are some less well-known genetic diseases that cause very serious vision loss or even total blindness. So things like retinitis pigmentosa, some of you listeners have heard of that. It's a blinding eye disease that starts off with trouble at, you know, seeing at night, and it gets worse and worse and worse over time. There are some others. Something called Stargardt is a what's called used to be called juvenile macular degeneration because it looked a lot like the age-related one, except it happened when people were young, you know, as teenagers typically. And there's several others, you know, but again, I don't want to get into the weeds too much about the diseases, but the important retinal conditions, we're looking at the bigger ones, of course, and we've had success. We've had actually improvements using the patient's harnessing the patient's own repair processes. That's, you know, fundamentally what we're doing, taking their bone marrow stem cells and putting them behind the eye and next to the eye. And by doing that, I'm kind of anthropomorphizing a little bit, you know, but what we're doing when we put the stem cells there is that suddenly they're in a new environment, and we like to think it kind of wakes them up a little bit, and they start looking around for, well, there must be something wrong here, let's look around here. And so certainly what they find is, you know, that the person has age-related macular degeneration or retinitis pigmentosa or Stargardt. And so those cells then interact with the retina in different ways, and we can talk about that. I just want to give kind of an overview first. Mm-hmm. And that can help improve the cells that are there already, the retinal cells that are still remaining. The interaction can improve their function, and actually the bone marrow stem cells can actually join with cells that are in the retina called Müller cells, Müller, M-U-L-L-E-R, with an umlaut over the U, so Müller cells. They actually can join with the Müller cells and help turn into other cells that belong in the retina that may have been lost. So it's very, very, that's particularly important with the optic nerve diseases that we treat. So we treat retinal diseases, and we also treat optic nerve, which are things like glaucoma. Maybe your listeners may have heard of glaucoma. It's typically because of too much pressure in the eye, and it damages the nerve over a period of time. Or something called neon. Neon is actually the second leading cause of optic nerve blindness. Most people have not heard of it. But neon is actually, it's an acronym, of course. It's non-arteritic ischemic optic neuropathy. So basically, it's like, you can think of it as like a stroke of the optic nerve. And people get that. and it's actually quite an important optic nerve disease, and it damages vision. And we've had success in, again, harnessing the patient's own reparative processes to help that. So I'll stop at the moment and
it just sounds very exciting because we have covered some of these diseases of the eyes and different kinds of health conditions that impact the eyes. So I'm very excited about what you're doing, and I just wanted to invite John, if you had a question or thought you wanted to follow up on in terms of the eye studies.
Yeah, well, I think it's great he's working with optic nerve damage. Neurological tissue doesn't really grow that fast, the cells in neurological tissue. So with the stem cells that he's using, I believe it helps to grow ganglion cells, if I'm pronouncing it right, and they can help repair the optic nerve. And it's just amazing that, we've got someone here that's doing this and telling us about it, and he's having success with it.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Yeah, this is good news for everybody. I was pretty surprised to hear about this. And Dr. Levy, when you do your study, maybe you could just briefly explain, how you do that, where people go and, how many days it takes and, just kind of what they would expect if they wanted to participate.
Right. So we're excuse me, we're in a clinical study. So clinical studies, it's a little complicated, and we don't need to go into the regulatory business too much, but we're under what's called an institutional review board, and so there's certain guidance that we've agreed to in order to safely do the study and to do it in compliance with the National Institutes of Health and, a dotted line over to FDA. We don't report directly to FDA, but I can explain that too. So we have a whole process that we go through that's been carefully organized. So the way we typically begin is that patients reach out to us, and I can give contact information, but patients reach out to us, and they typically explain they have a certain problem, with their eyes, whatever, maybe, dry macular degeneration, or they have RP, or they have, an optic nerve problem, atrophy, glaucoma, whatever it may be. So they typically give a little brief summary as they understand their problem. And then we respond and provide a template, essentially a pre-organized response, telling them about the study, giving them some information about the publications that we have. And we have many publications in ophthalmology and, with the results, beneficial results, and what's called statistical significance, which is what you need if you're going to make any kind of claims about something, doing something, you need what's called statistical significance. So we have all that in these papers. So we send a few of the papers, summaries, so the patients can begin to look at the study. And then if they're interested, then they forward their most recent eye exam. So we do need a recent eye exam, preferably within 6 months. And sometimes the patients have, they send us pictures and so forth, and that's fine, but we really need the written out eye exam that they can get from their own eye doctor, or they can have the eye doctor fax it to us. That's fine too. So we get that exam, and then that's reviewed by our principal investigator, who's a retinal surgeon that is actually doing the physical treatment. And if he believes the patient is likely to at least have a possibility of benefit, then he will say, go ahead, Dr. Levy, you can accept the patient. So we'll write back to the patient. We'll tell them that they've been accepted. They can go forward if they'd like. And then assuming they would like to do that, this is being done in Coral Springs. Springs, Florida, which is near Fort Lauderdale. And patients do have to travel down for a few days. Typically, they come to Florida on a Sunday. They're given another eye exam by the principal investigator on Monday, and there's paperwork to complete. And then the procedure is actually done in a surgical center. So the surgical center is essentially a freestanding facility that does, outpatient procedures. So, there's a lot of people know all about surgical centers. A lot of people, have different things done there. So it's for less serious, operations.
Mm-hmm.
So the patient does have to go to sleep, typically about 40 minutes. And there's anesthesia there. They put the patient to sleep. And then we have an orthopedic surgeon that works with us, and he does the bone marrow aspirations. And aspirations don't hurt. The patient's asleep. And afterwards, they don't hurt. There's an urban legend about bone marrow, procedures, and they're painful or something, but they're not, absolutely not. So nothing hurts. And then the bone marrow is put through the FDA-cleared machine. The machine runs for 20, 30 minutes, and then that's the fraction that has the stem cells in it and also some other cells and platelets is taken off, and then it's given over to our retinal surgeon, the principal investigator, and then he will actually inject them behind the eye and next to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And those are common for people who maybe have some worry about injections. They should understand that type of injection, putting it behind and next to the eye, is a very old kind of injection. And in fact, people who have cataract surgery or other types of eye surgery, they frequently have, anesthetic put behind the eye and antibiotics next to the eye. So this is an old, 100-year-old type of injection. This is nothing. The injection itself is not, unusual. There's millions of them done in the country every year. So anyway, so the stem cells are then placed. We like to put the patient to sleep, so this way we have as much room in the orbit as possible for the stem cell fraction, because we want to put as much in as we can. So both eyes are treated. If both eyes are eligible, both eyes have disease, then typically both eyes are treated. And then the procedure is finished with intravenous. We don't think intravenous bone marrow stem cells by themselves would know where to go, right? When you put it in the blood, we don't think it would know where to go. But by putting the stem cells in the orbit around the eye, we think that some of those stem cells that are in circulation also end up, going over to the eye. And so that's the end of the procedure. Patient wakes up, goes to a local, wherever they're staying, local hotel and so forth. And then the next day, the principal investigator checks them one more time, makes sure everything is fine, checks vision and so forth, and then they can go home. So that's the procedure, and then we need follow-up normally with their own eye doctor at 1, 3, 6, and 12 months after the procedure so that we can track, what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Does the patient improve? Does the patient stay the same? What exactly happens? Some of the diseases are bad diseases that we treat. If you have certain diseases, the vision is getting worse, and it's not always possible to have an improvement, or sometimes the vision continues to get worse irrespective of the treatment, because it just, no treatment's 100%, right? So but we've had, significant success, and the importance is that most all the diseases that we treat, in fact, with rare exception, most all of these diseases have no or very minimal other treatments available. So we're really tackling the most underserved eye diseases, right? So dry macular degeneration, the doctors will offer vitamins, and that's great, but it doesn't necessarily change the trajectory of the disease. It helps keep them from getting wet macular. So that's a good thing. You should take your vitamins. that the doctor suggests. But in terms of actually improving the dry macular, as far as we're aware, this is really the only approach that has shown benefit.
I have two. That's wonderful. I have two questions. One, is this funded or covered by healthcare or Medicare or Medicaid? And the second one is, how can people contact with you if they want to apply?
Sure. So unfortunately, we have no funding. So this is still in the clinical study stage, right? It's a little complicated, but the issue with insurances, the insurances have not gone forward with covering any stem cell procedure. So even the arthritis that's been treated with stem cells for probably 20 years now, even that is not covered. I'm not clear why they don't cover it, but they have not seen fit to add that to their, you know, listing of procedures that they will, you know, help pay for. So there is no insurance coverage, as far as I'm aware, for anything that's involving, you know, stem cells specifically. So our group does not have any funding. So we're a private research group of physicians. We don't have any funding from the government. We don't have any grant support. Again, not getting into the weeds too much, but grants from the government typically go to large universities and help support, you know, graduate programs and help, you know, maintain labs. And if you look for any kind of grant support, you know, a lot of it has to do with actually paying people, you know, so it's not something that we have access to, essentially. So this is something that the patients pay for. You know, it's called patient sponsored, and it's not an unusual, it's not rare. I would say other studies have done this. There have been some Israeli studies that have gone in this direction to try, because otherwise, how do you make progress? If you're not getting support specifically, who's going to pay for it? The pharmaceutical industry is very, very interested in cellular medicine. This is another term, you know, for this, but they're interested in creating, typically creating progenitor cells. So they want to take embryonic stem cells, certain lines that are available, and they try to turn them into other cells that are in the early stages of cells that they would replace. So essentially, they're looking to create a product, you know, something that they can patent. Mm. And that's where their efforts are going. And we wish them well. The pharmaceutical industry has brought great, you know, wonderful progress in many diseases. What we're doing is not patentable, right? You can't patent your own stem cells. You can't, the procedures themselves are not, you know, unique. So they've been around for many, many years, the actual injection techniques. The machine that separates the stem cells maybe has some patents, but it's not our machine. We're using another, you know, company's machine. So all these things mean, essentially, in terms of explanation, we don't have a way to pay for this other than the patients.
Okay. But it would be well worth it, certainly, if someone can afford to go on a vacation to Hawaii. They might prefer to go to Florida and get their eyes helped out. So I think that for many people it would be worth it if they do have the means. But it's unfortunate because many people won't have the means. But what can you do? Maybe once the study is more broadly known, people as advocates on their own behalf can advocate that these things be covered, just like other things be covered. I think that would be really another important strategy for us as citizens, to say that no, we don't want our government just to work on behalf of the patentable drugs. We want it to work on behalf of us as individuals and our well-being. So I think that that's something that I might take a peek at, see if there's any possibility there. But I'm also interested in learning about the other studies that you're doing. When we spoke earlier on, you were talking, I think, about Alzheimer's and other kinds of neurological diseases that has potential with this kind of therapy. And also, John, if you have any thoughts you wanted to add before going into these other ideas.
No, I was saying that it'll be a whole nother program talking about how to get these insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid and other things to pay for stem cell treatments.
Well, that's true.
They should cover it.
Absolutely. I agree. I think it takes advocacy, which is what all of us can do, even if we don't have these particular issues. We all know people or have someone in our family that could benefit. We may need to just, you know, advocate for that. But yeah, please tell us a little bit more about the other research that you're doing, Dr. Levy.
Yes, certainly, and thank you, John, for mentioning that. It's very complicated. The healthcare system in the United States is very Byzantine. It's not an easy system to understand, and the payment system is also not easy to really understand. And I think, you know, without question, there's ample evidence in a number of areas that regenerative medicine, cellular medicine, is making, you know, an enormous difference in patients' lives. And these are often cells that come from the same person. So these are autologous. They're nothing that you can put in a bottle, you know, to give back or sell back to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing. And we hope, over time, as momentum builds, you know, there'll be more encouragement in that direction, that at some point insurance companies will finally start to cover certain things. And, you know, it's part of what we're doing is, you know, we're the point of the spear, right? So we look at ourselves as the point of the spear. So we're doing our best. We're doing excellent science. We're doing great, you know, clinical approaches. We're writing papers. We're publishing in top-tier journals. We're doing the statistics. We're having statistical significance, which is what you need to say something actually works. And, you know, we are not going to be the last. We're the first here, but ultimately there will be other people that follow us and, you know, do the same things. There are many stem cell clinics, which we can talk about, you know, separately, but I'd rather talk mostly about what we're doing. And the point is, what we're doing is trying to push forward. We're not satisfied with just doing the procedure. We are publishing and looking, for example, there's something called ResearchGate, which is a, you know, an organization that keeps track of papers and such like that. We have, you know, over 100, I think it's about 160 or 170 citations, which means that our papers have been quoted, you know, parts of our paper have been taken out and quoted in other scientific papers. We have, I think, about 3,200 reads of our paper, you know, more or less, you know. So this is making an impact. What we're doing and the publishing is making an impact. It's helping, and this is across the world. It's not just in the United States. It's other people, quote, you know, look at our work and try to replicate it. So that's important. Okay, so let's talk about the other studies, which are also very interesting. So we have a neurologic study called the Neurologic Stem Cell Treatment Study, and the acronym is NEST, NEST, Neurologic Stem Cell Treatment Study. So that is a study that is looking at a number of different neurologic injuries and diseases. So, for example, stroke is a big one. Stroke, different kinds of stroke, traumatic brain injury, where you have, you know, concussions and damage to the brain, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is, you know, the issue with football players and, you know, repeated head trauma, a number of what are called neurodegenerative conditions, things like ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. Your listeners have probably heard of that. PSP, which is progressive supranuclear palsy, Parkinson's disease, which is actually quite, you know, is something your listeners would definitely know about, something called MSA or multisystem atrophy, and other types of neurologic that affect the nerves, for example, like multiple sclerosis or peripheral neuropathy. So we're looking at a number of different conditions. And what's interesting about the stem cells is that they can turn into other cells, right? So the bone marrow-derived stem cells, we know they can turn into ganglion cells in the optic nerve. So they actually, ganglion cells are just neurons, you know, specialized neurons. So they can turn into, that's well established. So bone marrow-derived stem cells can turn into neurons, and that's important, but they also are able to provide something called neuroprotection. So neuroprotection means that the stem cells themselves actually help preserve and improve the function of existing neurons, which is, you know, very important and actually quite interesting. So what happens is the stem cells, the bone marrow stem cells, actually give off little tiny packets called exosomes. So these little tiny things, bubbles, let's call them that, you know, they're part of their cell membrane. So they give off these little bubbles, and inside these little bubbles or exosomes are different proteins, and also nucleic acid. So the different proteins that can help neurons are things like nerve growth factor, or there's a whole string of proteins that are called neurotrophic factors, like brain-derived neurotrophic factor and ciliary body neurotrophic factor and glial cell-derived neurotrophic factor and others. So these proteins enter the damaged neurons and help them in different ways. So they'll help, maybe they help them with their neurotransmitter production, or they help them with the transportation of the neurotransmitters. So we don't need to go into details, but they help the neurons, and they help them to survive, which is very important. If you have anything that's continually damaging disease, that half the battle is just to hang on to the neurons that you have, so they don't, you know, undergo cell death, which is called apoptosis. So these different factors are released. Also, they give off something called miRNA, which is a natural, you know, RNA, and that RNA can turn on good genes that help protect the neurons or the other cells, the supporting cells, and turn off genes that are causing the cells to die. So there's that aspect. Also, the bone marrow stem cells can transfer, they actually make little tiny bridges. It's pretty remarkable. They make little bridges to the damaged cells, and they will give of themselves. They actually transfer things that are inside themselves. We call them cytoplasmic structures, right? So inside the cell actually has little tiny organs. We call them organelles, right? One of the famous ones everybody probably knows is mitochondria. So there's a lot of talk about mitochondria. Mitochondria make the energy for the cells. They make, you know, what's called ATP, right? So they will actually transfer their own mitochondria over to the damaged cells, and they all to help them with their function, right? So the cells can actually have a boost, so to speak, you know, from these transferred organelles. Also, what's very interesting in neurologic disease, especially the neurodegenerative diseases, is that the bone marrow stem cells can transfer lysosomes. And lysosomes are a special organelle that actually breaks down protein. So in the cells, you know, often we think of cells as being almost like little mini cars or something. You know, we think of them as a mechanical structure, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not mechanical. They constantly have to replace themselves, literally. Every part of them, with the exception of their DNA, pretty much, every part of them has to get replaced. So the lysosome actually gets rid of the protein, and we think that's important in some of these neurodegenerative conditions where there is a buildup of abnormal protein, like in Parkinson's, like in ALS, different, you know, again, more complicated. A lot of these diseases are, you know, we're just doing a kind of an overall look. I don't want to, you know, not at their, every Parkinson's disease is, you know, Parkinson's is made up of sub-diseases, right? You know, so same with ALS and these other conditions. But the importance is that the ability for the cell to process proteins and try to recover and be neuroprotected is something that the bone marrow stem cells do. Also, the third thing that's important for the listeners is that they are immune modulating. So they quiet the immune response of the body, the abnormal responses. And that's important in most neurologic disease. There's abnormal inflammation, but especially in things like MS, right, where there's an autoimmune process going on. So we think that that may have some importance. So the neurologic stem cell treatment study is looking at a number of diseases. We have seen improvements in different conditions. We don't really at this point talk about numbers and which diseases and what's happened because we don't have the data yet to do a paper and, you know, show statistical significance. So we're kind of reticent about that. But it is very interesting what we've been seeing so far. Mm-hmm. And then we have, if you have any questions, you can just interrupt me. I'm going to go on to the last few.
Because we're running up on time. So, yeah, well, definitely keep going. The only thing I would say, maybe to give people the contact information if they want to reach out to you about some of these studies.
Sure. Let me do that now, and I'll do it again if we have a few more minutes. So the best way, honestly, of reaching us about the studies is to email me. And the email is actually available on the NIH website. I will give you the email, but if you don't catch it or you're in your car, you can go to the NIH website, which is the clinicaltrials.gov website. So if you look up clinical trials, you don't want .com, you want the clinicaltrials.gov, right? So that's the official NIH website. There are thousands of studies listed, thousands, okay? So if you go there and you type in SCOTS2 or just SCOTS, and you look a little bit, you know, and you'll find us, and you can look, open it up, and you can find the contact information, you know, in the listing of the study. And the same with our other studies, the NEST study, same thing. You know, you can look and find the one that's about stem cells because there's some other ones, but, you know, you can find it. But my email address is just my first name, last name. So Stephen, Steven, Levy, Levy, at mdstemcells.com. So Stephen Levy at mdstem, S-T-E-M, cells, C-E-L-L-S.com. And you can look us up. You can go to the website also, you know, mdstemcells.com. There's a contact us page that works perfectly fine too. So I'll just finish with the two other studies. We actually have a spinal cord injury study. And spinal cord is very challenging. There's hundreds of thousands of people in the country that have been injured and have very varying degrees of disability. It's been a very, very difficult thing to make progress in, for sure. But what we're doing is we're using the bone marrow stem cells, and our spinal surgeon essentially injects them on both sides of the spine where the spinal nerves come out, typically either 4 injections or 6 injections. And we also incorporate intravenous and something called intranasal to try to get the stem cells also to work on the brain as well as on the below the injured area. And we have seen modest improvements. Again, not enough data yet, but the AIA scoring, which is the standard scoring for spinal cord injuries, we have actually seen improvements in patients. And then finally, we have a study called ACIST, A-C-I-S-T, is a study that's where we're interested in Alzheimer's and other cognitive impairments, other dementias. So Alzheimer's is the big one. Lewy body dementia. Some patients or some individuals may have heard of that. There are some others, frontal temporal dementias, and there's some other dementias, but the big one is Alzheimer's. And we are working with that population in order to, again, do the same type of treatment that we've been doing in the NEST study, bone marrow-derived stem cells, intravenous and intranasal, to get the stem cells into the brain. And this has been shown in animal models to occur if you do it this way. And there are different ways that we think it can help. But, of course, neuroprotection being a big one, lysosomes helping to helping the cells to process proteins perhaps in a more effective way. And, you know, the nerve growth factors, the neurotrophic factors, which we think can be helpful to increasing the connectivity, the dendrites that connect the neurons to one another. We think that that's something that may have that value there. Similarly, that study, the ASSIST study, is also taking patients with autism spectrum disorder. And autism spectrum disorder, there's, of course, you know, some different theories about how it might be helped, but Duke down in North Carolina did a study, appeared to have some positive results, using the patient's own stem cells, but from their umbilical cord that got harvested, right? You know, so there's that as well. So those are our four studies. Okay, so we have SCOTS, SCOTS, we have NEST, NEST, we have the spinal cord injury, which is called CIEXVR, SCIEXVR. That's because we incorporate exoskeleton in there as well as virtual reality. That's kind of like a whole, that's another discussion. We don't have time today for that. But and then finally, the ASSIST, which is, you know, Alzheimer's, other dementias, and autism spectrum.
Well, that's really amazing. It sounds to me like this is, like you said, you might be the tip of the sword, but this looks like the new wave of medicine. We're just about out of time. I see someone is trying to call in. I'm not sure that we have time for calls, but I'm going to see what happens and take this call. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Please, quickly.
Okay, the doctor was just talking about umbilical cord. So if you get umbilical cord stem cells from anyone else, you have to take rejection drugs. So maybe a thing in the future would be when children are born, it would be, I don't know how much it would cost, but people would save their own umbilical cord, or the parents would save the child's umbilical cord cells. What do you think?
Well, actually, that's often done. The rationale for that is typically if a young baby develops a serious, you know, like a leukemia or something, that these cells are available, as opposed to doing a, again, it's, this whole thing is very complicated, but as opposed to doing a bone marrow transplant, if the patient fails chemotherapy, they can sometimes use the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord right now is not a large enough number of cells, and it doesn't have, we can't, in this situation, we can't actually use pooled umbilical cord cells. The other thing, it gets into the immune system. You're quite right. There are issues with immune rejection, and it isn't the fact, people will say, oh, umbilical cord, they don't have the same markers as adult cells. You know, it's fetal cells. And that's true, but at the same time, your immune system will react. If it's not just not having markers, it's about not having the right markers. That's kind of what triggers. Again, the immune system is very complicated, but just to give an idea. But we don't want to get too off.
We can continue the conversation.
Okay,
thank you so much. So we are just about out of time, Dr. Levy. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I will definitely invite you back so we can speak more. Okay. And so I'm wondering if you could give your contact again.
Sure. It's The best way is the email, because telephone calls can, I get stacked up with multiple calls sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way is through email, stevenlevy@mdstemcells.com, stevenlevy at M like Mary, D like David, stem, STEM, cells, CELLS.com. And again, the website
excellent.
Also an option. Yeah, so.
Right, and that's MDStemCells.com.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to have to say so long for now, and we'll speak again. Thank you so much for joining us. For me too. And John Monroe, very quickly, please give out your website and phone number for people who want to know about holistic eye care.
Our website is drbanker.com, drbanker.com. And my office number you can call is 303-494-4532, and I want to thank Dr. Levy for coming on today.
Excellent. Thank you both, and bye-bye for now.